الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استعيذوا بالله من عذاب القبر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Most respected ulama ikram elders, a mu'min, an intelligent mu'min, he looks at situations around him, he sees scenarios around him, and then he studies them, and he learns from them, he draws a lesson from them, and he sees how he can improve his life so that he can attain success in this dunya, qabr and akhirat. So on that note, presently we are in the exam period. Many schools, colleges, universities, some of them are starting off the exams, some of them are in mid-stride, in the middle of the exams, and some may be culminating and finishing off the exams. So it's a time of year when there's much hype in the homes, parents, children are very worried, very stressed, lots of arrangements and adjustments are made to the daily routine. Much studies must be covered, in most cases, much studies must be covered, and students need to go for tuition, they must revise all their work. Leisures and pleasures are cut out during this time. Sometimes they already tell Nani and Kala and Daddy that 2-3 weekends now we won't be coming, because the children need to study, they need to learn hard. However, the point that we need to realize and learn from this is that yes, it is important for students to study, to toil, and to make the effort to pass in their exams for this dunyawi purpose. But however, the effort needs to be in proportion to the final objective, to the real objective. And also in the process of making this effort, we should make sure that the effort is made within the parameters of Sharia. Many a times we find parents are asking for du'as, make du'a, the child is successful, they're passing the exams, they do well, make du'a, my son doesn't get any subs, he must get through this year, this is the final year, so next year he can find a job. But at the same time, in the same token, we condone the child to stay at home, namaz time, you know, must study now, don't go for namaz. You've got to go cover all these you got to do your assessments and you got to prepare and do the revision of all these tutorials, etc., whatever it's called. So namaz this time here, you know, just read it at home. Don't go to the masjid. So one side you're asking for success, you want du'as. On the other side, the first thing that a person will be accountable for in the day of Qiyamah is the salah that we condone. So obviously if we're making effort for the exams, yes, we make effort, but in proportion to the outcome and the real objective. The outcome and the objective of this dunyawi exam is what? It's short-lived and is temporary, for some small temporary benefit. And the objective is this, that the child must study, be successful, and then attain a degree, and then get a good job. However, that period that a person will spend in this world, 50 years, 40 years, 60 years, it's short-lived in contrast to the real life of the akhirah. So whatever success he attains here, material success, and that also we find many a times a student toils, studies hard, dedicates himself. Many thousands and hundreds of thousands of rands are spent towards the pursuit of a certain degree. But come to the end of the degree, the child can't find a, now he's not a child, now he's an adult, he can't find a job in that career line, so he's doing something else. He studied many, many years to become a lawyer, for example, or a chartered accountant, or a dentist, whatever it is, but come to the end of it, he can't find a job for whatever reason, he's opening a shop and he's doing something else. So many years of effort and toiling are not reaching him towards that goal that he was looking at. Sometimes you find the person toils for so many, can reach the culmination of his degree, he passes away in his body. But the lessons that we derive from this and the lessons that we take from this is that the reality of this examination is short-lived. But there is another examination that each and every one of us has to go through. Us, our wives, our children, we all have to pass through this examination. And this examination also has a trial exam in inverted commas and a final exam. And every one of us has to pass through this exam. And success and failure in this exam, the real exam, determines eternal success or eternal doom and damnation. Allah save us, Allah save us. So this, as I mentioned in the beginning, an intelligent mu'min, intelligent believer, looks at scenarios around him and takes lessons. So from this exam period also, we can take some lessons that all of us, one day, we are going to pass away. This life is going to come to an end without any notification. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that the angel of death will extract our ruh, it can happen wherever we are, whenever we are doing, whatever we are doing, to whatever condition we are. But this is definite and this is certain that our life in this world is going to come to an end. And how much concern have we got for ourselves and our children and our families? Like we mentioned, now in the exam period, we are on a high that, you know, make sure that they are successful. They get all the answers right. They mustn't fail. They mustn't get the answer. Every answer they must try and get, score the best marks. But in the exam of the qabr, which is the trial exam in inverted commas, the first exam, how much of effort are we making on ourselves and our children that we pass, that we answer those questions that the angels will ask us in the qabr, we answer those questions 100% correctly. It is mentioned with regards to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, that when he used to come at the side of a qabr, when he used to be at the graveside, then he used to cry profusely. So the people asked him, that, oh Uthman radiallahu an, that when mention is made of Jannah and Jahannam, you cry, but you don't cry so often and so profusely. But when you are at the side of a qabr, why is it that you cry so much? Uthman radiallahu an, he answered them with the words of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna al-qabr awwal manzilin min manazil al-akhirah, fa in najaa minhu fama ba'dahu aysaru minhu, wa in lam yanju minhu fama ba'dahu ashaddu minhu." That indeed the qabr, the grave, is the first stage, the first marhala from amongst the stages of the akhirah. So if a person is saved from it, a person is safe in the qabr, he answers the questions correctly, and he is safe from the torment of the qabr, then whatever follows, inshallah, will be easier than it. And if one is not safe from it, if one is unsuccessful in this first trial exam, whatever will follow will be worse than this. During the exam period, we find students are looking forward to exam tips. They want the teachers to tell them what's coming out in the paper, so they can learn those questions and become, do well in those questions and ace the paper. Some of them actually are not only looking forward to exam tips, many of them are hoping that the whole paper is leaked so they can get their hands on the paper, swat the answers and ace the paper. Respected brothers and elders, with this regards to the questions for the qabr, what we are going to be asked in the qabr, the questions for this have not only been leaked, there's no question of exam tips or the paper being leaked. These questions have been expressly told to us and explained to us with no uncertainty by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these are the questions that you are going to be asked in the qabr, and the questioners there are not going to be your teacher or your lecturer. The questioners there, the angels. When a person will be made to sit up, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that after a person is buried, then the deceased person, he is able to hear the footsteps of those that have buried him and they are now leaving. After they have left, then he is made to sit up in his qabr. He is made to sit up in his qabr, and then the angels Munkar and Nakir present themselves before him to question him, to ask him the questions that have already been told to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than 1400 years ago. And they will ask him, the first question that you will ask him, Mar Rabbuk, that who is your Rabb? If he was a practicing believer, then he will answer, Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah. However, if he was a disbeliever, then he will say, Ha, ha, la adri. Alas, I do not know, I don't know the answer. Second question they will ask him, Ma dinuk, so what is your religion? If he was a believer, then he will answer, Dini al-Islam, my religion was Islam. However, if he was a disbeliever, then he will answer, Ha, ha, la adri. I don't know what's the answer, alas. Then they will ask him the third question, that Ma hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha feekum, that who is this person that was sent to you? If he was a believer, then he will answer, Hada Rasulullah sallallahu, huwa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the malaika will ask him, if he successfully answers this as a believer, then they will ask him, how do you know the answers to this? How did you come to know the answers to this? Then he will say, that I had read the book of Allah, I had studied the book of Allah, and I had considered it to be true, and I believed in it and considered it to be true. Thereafter, an announcement will be made from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A proclaimer will announce that definitely my servant has spoken the truth. So spread for him a bed from Jannah, and clothe him with clothing from Jannah, and open for him a door from Jannah. And then this believer, he will enjoy from some of this, from the breeze and the fragrance of Jannah. He will enjoy from some of the pleasures of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it available to him in his qabr, and the qabr will be instructed to be expanded as far as the eyes can see, and then he will lie therein in comfort and in ease. And such a person, such a believer, is successful inshallah in this first part of the exams, in the trial exams. However, if it was a disbeliever, then when this third question is asked to him, that Ma hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha feekum, that who is this person that was sent to you? And for the third time he will answer, Ha ha, la adri. Alas, I do not know. When he answers in this way, then another proclaimer will proclaim from the skies, from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that definitely this person has spoken lies. He is a liar. So spread for him a bed of fire, and clothe him with fire, and open for him a door towards Jahannam. And then he will start suffering the heat and the torment of Jahannam in his very qabr. Allah save us, Allah save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the first category who attain success in their qabr, whose qabrs are expanded to as far as the eyes can see. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the benefits of Jannah in our qabr. So coming back to the second person, he will start experiencing the torment of the qabr. He will start experiencing the torment of Jahannam already in his qabr, whereby the flames and the fire and the heat will be transferred to his qabr. And then it will be instructed that the qabr must close itself on him so tightly that his ribs of one side will penetrate into the ribs of the other side. And then an angel is appointed over him. The Hadith Sharif tells us that such an angel is appointed over him. If he is unsuccessful, if he has not answered the questions correctly, and the reason for him not answering the questions correctly is because he lived his life incorrectly in this world. He did not pursue the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chalked out for him. He thought that his intelligence and his acumen and his own ideas were going to make him successful in the akhirah. However, by doing that, he has failed dismally. Angel who is appointed over him, on this person who has failed, this angel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him blind and deaf. And he carries with him such a hammer, that if this hammer strikes a mountain, then it will turn that mountain into powder. It will pulverize that mountain within one strike. And this angel is blind. He is blind because he cannot see the outcome of the strike of his hammer. He is deaf so that he cannot hear the screams of those who are going to be struck by this hammer. And when that inmate of the qabr who is unsuccessful due to living his life the way he thought he would be successful in this world by following his whims and fancies, when he is struck with that hammer, then he screams in pain so loudly and his screams are so frightening that the Hadith Sharif says that every creation hears his screams except man and jinn. And then when he is struck with the hammer, he is pulverized, he is completely destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns his ruh back into him. And this process and procedure of being punished this way in the qabr continues till the day of Qiyamah. Allah save us, Allah save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our eyes and let us realize that we are in a temporary abode here. The real abode is the abode of the akhirah. So this was the first part of the exam. As we mentioned, we can liken it to the trial exam. But the real exam is the exam on the day of Qiyamah. But after the stage of the qabr is complete, then when we are made up to rise from our graves, every person will rise up naked and come and stand before the examiner. And who will be the examiner on that day? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will be the examiner on that day. And what will be the exam room? It will be the plains of Mahshar, the plains of Qiyamah, where the people from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the last person will be gathered, and they will have to stand before the examiner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day, a person, his deeds will be presented before him. No person will be oppressed in the least. Every action of his, good or bad, will be put forward on that day. And he will have to give the exam in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such a day when a person would be so terrified, and every person will be only concerned about himself, that he will flee from his own brother. He will flee from his mother and father. He will flee from his wife and his children because of his own concern and own fikr that mera kya hoga, what will happen to me? Where am I going to end up? What is my end result? What is my destiny? It is an extremely frightening manzar, an extremely frightening picture, something that we have to realize the reality of, that we are all going to be headed in that way, sooner or later. And the duration of this exam, firstly, in this examination, it is not just a verbal examination where our tongues will be made to speak. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant power to our own limbs to speak. Our own limbs, which we used in the pursuit of our own desires, whims and fancies, thinking that this world we will live as we want and nothing will happen thereafter. Nay, our own limbs, our hands, our feet will testify against us in that court. Will testify against us in that court that he had used me to do this and this thing. He had used these hands to oppress a person, to hit somebody unjustly, to steal the wealth and usurp the wealth of certain people. He used these legs to walk towards haram so that he could perpetrate haram. Allah save us. This is a reality, dear brothers and friends. This is a lesson that we have to take from this period of the exams, that one day we'll have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that real exam. And the duration of that exam, here you write a paper, sometimes 3 hours, maximum 4 hours, some maybe 5 hours. I don't know if you get such a long paper. That day, for a believer, the exam will be as short as 2 rakats of salah. But for some people, the exam will be for 1,000 years. It will seem like the duration of 1,000 years. And for some, it will seem like the duration for 50,000 years. Allah save us, Allah save us. And the stress on that day, talk about exam stress. Now, as we mentioned in the beginning, students are worried, parents are worried, everyone is stressed out. The exam stress on that day, people will be drowning in their perspiration according to the level of their amal, according to the level of their sins, according to the level of their wrongs. Some will be ankle deep, some will be up to their shins, some will be up to their knees, some will be drowning in their own perspiration. Sun over their heads, boiling hot, not knowing what their fate is going to be. So this is the reality for me. This is the reality for each and every one of us. So what is the fikr that we have to have? The fikr that we have to have is that how myself, my children, my wife, and every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be successful in that exam. And in this worldly exam, we don't just rely on du'as. We don't just say, make du'a. We make so much of effort. We make so many changes. We make so many alterations to our programs. And the students are encouraged to burn the midnight oil. Parents and family members make the sacrifices. So do we think that just by making du'a and hoping for the best in the akhirah, everything will just work out without any effort? No, it doesn't work like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this. And the way we live our lives in this world, the way we make effort on our families in this world, is what is going to translate to success. So we have to work on ourselves. We have to spend time with the pious awliya of Allah, with the pious ulama. We have to bring our children, monitor ourselves, monitor our children also. What mahal are they in? What environment are they in? What environment am I in? As Moana mentioned last week, Zahir Karim sahab, dam barakatum, lengthy bayan explaining the upbringing of children. We need to ask ourselves that am I making an environment that is conducive for deen for my child at home? Or am I wanting my child to be a practicing Muslim, however the environment that I am creating at home is completely otherwise? Do I have a check on what my children are doing, where they are going, who they were associating with, what they are viewing on those smartphones, tablets, etc.? Because it's not that they will be answerable for their actions and I will be answerable for my actions. The father, the leader of the household, he is a shepherd over his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us, as the responsible persons for our family, that what effort, what program did you put in place? How did you make effort on your children to make sure that they are on the right track, on the path of Iman, on the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Respected friends, respected elders and brothers, we have to make a concerted effort on ourselves and our family members. Spend, as I mentioned, spend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take our children into dini programs. Take our children out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't send them out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take them out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a difference to this. Don't send them to the bayans. Take them to the bayans. Sit with them. Many a times we find, sadly, parents will think they're sending their children to some dini mahal, bayan program, 3 days out in jamaat. They're sending them out and not giving the time themselves. Sometimes what the child is doing and what he's expected to be doing is vastly different. So spend the time. They are our investment. Them leading their lives according to the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to benefit us. If they are on the right track, it's going to benefit us. It's going to benefit them and it's going to benefit us also. So spend your time with your children. Take them to dini programs. Take them out in the path of Allah. Monitor them. Today's zamana is different. The time, the era that we are living in now is unparalleled in terms of the bombardment of fitna on our children. If we are not going to be there standing next to them and watching what is happening to them and guiding them, don't be fooled and think that the Molana in the madrasa for 2 hours is going to be able to do that job for you. Don't be fooled that they're going to go to the Darul Room and they'll be under the ustads over there. And if I don't have a check on my own child, even wherever they are, whether they're in a hifz class, whether they're in a Darul Room, wherever they, the mahol today, the environment today, is beckoning towards evil, beckoning towards wrong, as Moana had mentioned last week. So create the correct environment for them and monitor them. Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.